The Internet, the final frontier.
Hey, you're listening to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's a podcast. You listen to it with your ears. This is a special guest interview recorded at MAGFest 2013, Music and Gaming Festival in National Harbor, Maryland. 4 straight days of music, video games, and wild debauchery. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Here we are at MAGFest 11, 2013. It's exciting. And we're joined by a special guest. Her name is Kimberly Wiegand, or better known as Saber, from the Frag Dolls. Hello.
Hi.
You look very bubbly and cheerful to be at MAGFest this year. And
this is my first MAGFest.
Oh, my God.
Today has been, like, newbie. Nonstop. I know. I'm a total noob. And I live in the area. So it's there's no excuse. I should have been here years ago, and I wasn't.
Well, it was formerly, the year before last, it was at the Hilton in Alexandria, and it was...
That's what I heard. It was small.
Yes, it was very small.
But now here, walking around, it's like, there are patches of just empty air. Like, nobody's there. But there's tons of people here.
I know. It's huge, thousands of people.
Yeah.
I think it's bigger than ever.
Yes.
And this is a nice place, too.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I think we've joked at least on, like, 3 or 4 separate occasions. They're like, why are they letting nerds like us into a place as nice as this?
Yeah.
This is this cannot end well.
They made a real mistake letting people like us in here.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. The only thing I don't like, though, is a lot of the restaurants here are, like, really high priced. Oh, and I'm like, it's not really conducive to, like...
Well,
or, you know, I think
that's why you'll notice we have a ton of giant boxes of things from Costco.
Yes, is smart. Yeah. That is so smart.
Yeah. I know there's like at least one or two affordable places, like the Nando's place down waterfront.
Nando's is good. If you're coming to MAGFest or just coming to stay in National Harbor for any reason, go to Nando's Peri Peri. Delicious Brazilian chicken.
Can we have our money
wraps.
Now?
Portuguese.
Portuguese. Well, okay. They speak Portugal in Brazil, so easy mistake to make. Anyways, how are you enjoying your first MAGFest?
I love it.
Enough about chicken joints.
It's crazy. Sadly, I haven't seen any panels yet. I just walked around the vendor area. I haven't played any games yet, which is killing me. I really want to play some games.
Right. It's, yeah, the fact that we're, you know, here covering the event as well as trying to enjoy it, it is crazy. Like, you look at your watch, you're finding, like, wow, I've already managed to miss many, many things just trying to walk around, find people, meet people.
Like Triforce Quartet, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And you're like, it's cool. You know, we're getting to talk to people and meet people in ways that we wouldn't normally doing if we were just attending it as, I guess, just regular people.
I mean, we got to meet John St. John. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, not just going to his panel, but actually having him sit in the room and hang out with us. That's really cool. So why don't we proceed forward by doing a little bit of backing up. So what are the Frag Dolls?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Okay.
Only because it's so hard for us to kind of define ourselves because we are an evolving team. But currently we're 7 women that are sponsored by Ubisoft. So we are a competitive gaming team. But we also double as a marketing arm for Ubisoft. So because they are our sponsor, we like to help promote and do campaigns for them. But we're kind of like our own little business unit within Ubisoft. Mm-hmm. So we can have our own ideas for campaigns. We can put together a pitch deck, pitch it to Ubisoft. They can say, sure, that's great. Or, hey, take some things and then, sure, here's a budget, you know. So it's very entrepreneurial in a sense. But... that's why it's kind of hard for us, because we're not just competitive gaming. We don't just spend all our time practicing, although we would love to. But we do a lot of marketing as well, and we kind of do our own branding for our team brand, things like that. So there's a lot that we do, and it's I think we're still trying to define our mission statement. It's a little old on our website.
Okay.
And we're advocates of women in gaming, whether it's working in the industry or competitive gaming or casual gaming.
Yeah, I did see that. It was a pretty... integral component of what you guys do, and that's great. That's a really great thing that you're doing. So how did you personally get involved with it?
So I heard about the Frag Dolls probably when I first entered high school. So that was a little bit... No, that's a lie. I'm trying to think of when I first heard of the Frag Dolls. I was in high school, I believe, and I saw the PC Gamer, I think, magazine article on them. So it was a big couple-page spread on the girls that were in the team at the time, and they were newly formed, and they had just won some tournaments. So I was like, this is incredible. I've never seen anything like this. And my parents own a local game store in the area. So I grew up around board games, card games, tabletop, miniature games, everything like that. So video games was something that I was also into, but I didn't have such a detailed background in that. So it was just gaming. It was girls and gaming, and I was drawn to it. I'd never seen anything like it. So I followed them all through high school, all through college. And then after college, I joined the working force, and I was like, this is just not enough for me. I need to do something in gaming. I want to be a Frag Doll. And through luck and perseverance, I finally made it. And so now I'm a year and a half into my tenure of being a Frag Doll, and I love it. It's great.
So are you the only Frag Doll here at MAGFest, or are there others? So do you guys work in teams, work individually? How does that work?
We work as a team and individually, kind of as needed. So we are all over the nation. Four of our girls are in California, I think two in San Francisco, two in San Diego, so they're kind of separate because California is a big state. There's one in Florida, there's me here in the DC metro area, and then there's one, I think, in Colorado. So we're kind of all over the place, and it's hard for us to get together physically and work unless it's like a big event that we go to. So we'll be at all the PAX events, we'll go to E3, we'll go to, some of the girls are going to CES.
Cool.
Next week, this week, next week, sometime early January.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
MAGFest just happened to lug out that you live in the area, so lucky
you. Yes, and lucky you for getting to come to MAGFest, right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
When we met you at the Art of Video Games exhibit, was awesome, and I saw they are having, or I don't know if we missed it already,
they
so going
had,
back to what we talked about
had.
Of missing panels that we want to go to, but they were having
a
post-mortem on the Art of Video Games exhibit.
Now, was Chris Melsinos there for this panel?
I was saying, I didn't get to go to the panel, and I'm kind of bummed about that.
Because I feel like he would have a say in that, right? He was the curator for that.
And the bulk of the collection was his.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
and I think right now it's like in the Midwest, isn't it? Because it stopped being here in September,
Yeah, because I actually went to
September, they canceled it out, and then I started moving from city to city.
Yeah, it's traveling now.
Yeah, because I went to the Smithsonian Art Museum, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
It wasn't there.
But there's still some pretty cool modern art exhibits. But they replaced it with some experimental film stuff, which is
fun. Interesting.
Actually, it's funny you mention that, because I remember, because I saw the video that you did for the Frag Dolls on the exhibit, and I remember one of the things was you were trying to get in on the interactive exhibit for Super Mario Brothers. Like, you kept going to it, but people were at it, and you're like, I really want to play this game. And you can't get in. Because I feel bad, because I think in that exact shot, when you walk up to it the first time, I think it's either me or Sean.
No, I was playing it.
You were playing it. It's like, we were the ones blocking it off. We were like,
that's funny.
Oh, I feel like an ass now.
No, it's totally cool. I'm glad I ran into you guys.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Were you actually able to get to play that game finally? Or
no.
Oh.
Really? That's okay. I mean, we came, I think, kind of later on in the day. It might have been wrapping up, or maybe it takes a lot out of you to do film work and like interview on camera and be energetic. And I'm naturally an introvert, so it's very hard after like 2 hours.
I understand.
Constant, you know, pepped.
Believe me, I can relate to that. So what is? I guess I was going to ask, what is your role on the team? But I guess the first question should be, do you guys sort of? Does each of the Frag Dolls sort of have a different specialty of like what kind of games they play and sort of like what event type of events they go to and things like that?
Yeah. We actually have split the team up into kind of what I call business units. Mm-hmm. And then we have leads for all of those business units. So we have like a brand development person who's one of our co-captains, and she is just there to make sure that the long-term strategy for our brand, the team, you know, is executed and all that stuff. So we have that. We have an events management person, so she just handles the booking and traveling and all the events that we go to. We have a social media lead. We have a live stream competitive team lead. And then we have a content management lead, so she helps us put content out there, whether it's written or video or anything like that. And then I'm kind of like the person who will take up things that are like put by the wayside that we didn't have time for, you know, so charity. I'm a big charity person, and we did a whole lot with Extra Life this past year, and then moving forward into this year, we're going to do a whole lot more. I think we raised like $13,000 for
that's
them.
Pretty impressive.
In like 3 months, yes. It was awesome. So there's that. I'm the manager of our cadet program, so we have sort of like an apprenticeship that we offer to girls.
I saw that on your webpage. I was going to ask you about that.
Class for 2013 is opening pretty soon.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we just opened up the application process for that. So it ends. The deadline is Tuesday, January 15th. And it's really easy to apply. We are strongly recommending all sorts of girls who are interested in gaming or who are gamers or who think they might be interested in gaming, you know, to apply and learn about it. And they just submit their resume, a writing sample, cover letter. That's it. You know, pretty simple.
Yeah.
Email it to us. That's my big project for this month, is to go through all the applications
and handle that. Okay, so you've discussed your role in terms of the, like, the business side of things. What about the video games? Like, what's your niche?
That's hard. So I, as I mentioned earlier, I have a strong background in tabletop gaming.
Right.
So that's obviously, the Fragdoll team is a competitive video game team, and Ubisoft is a video game publisher and developer, and they dabble a little bit in tabletop, or at least they'll sell the rights to part of the rights to some of their game titles to third party, like board game makers, you know, things like that. Like, I know Assassin's Creed just came out with HeroClix, you know, things like that. So there's some collaboration there. But so as much as I want to do like tabletop stuff, I've kind of had to transition to go into competitive video game playing, which is a whole different world. That is like so intense all the time. So it's new. I'm a total noob there, but I'm currently in our team. We're putting together our competitive team for 2013 for Shoot Mania, which is a new Ubisoft title. And it's fast-paced, first-person shooter on the PC only. And it's a great game. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun game mechanics, things like that. And they're trying to get on some of the pro circuits. I think it's already on IPLs. Yeah, I know it's on IPLs, IGN's Pro League, things like that. So it's funny because it's only teams of three that compete in the competitive game type. So there's seven of us, so we're having kind of like internal tryouts. So the best players are going to make that team of three, maybe a fourth as a backup, just in case. And then that's what we'll use to go into competition. So I am currently working on becoming that third spot. Like, I want that. We have our top two already picked. So
did you have to go get a sweet gaming rig in order to practice playing this game?
Yeah, I have a nice little Alienware PC. So I like it. It's fun. And it's also good for live streaming. We do a lot of live streams. So
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of a little bit of tangent here, but we're doing some research, you know, and we saw that you were in Color Guard.
Yes.
And we have to ask about this because we were both in marching band
in high school.
That's awesome. That's actually how we met.
Trumpet.
And then when I was a senior, I switched to mellophone because we had like 20 trumpet players.
Yeah. And so we had, you know, as bandies and Color Guard people, you know, there's always an interesting relationship there.
Of course.
Because Lord knows I almost got my head taken off by a flagpole.
Yep.
Many, many times.
Yep. Yeah. You got sabers, rifles flying all over the place. I don't know if you guys had weapons in here.
Yep, we had sabers, we had rifles, we had the whole works. Yep. And I remember one very particular set of one song. We did a show themed around African music. Which was kind of cool, actually, because we did, like, stopped in the middle of the show and did, like, basically quasi-tribal dancing, where we were just, like, dancing in a circle.
Oh my gosh.
And then it had this one set where my section, we had to pass through the color guard as they're coming, like, laterally across the field. We're going vertically, and every single time I thought I was going to die getting, concussed by a pole. And actually, one time in a competition, it finally did happen. Not to me.
Right, in competition, too.
Another trumpet player.
Of course.
Got beamed in the head.
That's the worst.
Because one of my best friends in high school was on the color guard. He was, like, the only guy on the color guard squad. And it was awesome because, you know, I think you and me, like, half of the people we knew were in color guard. But yeah. Every time I came near them on the field, I was like, I wish I'd been a better person, Kong. Knocked unconscious. Oh, wait, we got to wait for him to wake up.
I know, so.
Is bad. But no, while we were researching for this interview, we saw the video of, you know.
You doing
the rifle work. And how long ago were you in high school marching band? I mean, how long has it been since you actually, besides that video, how long has it actually been since you actually had to call upon that?
So I stopped doing color guard when I was. Actually, I stopped doing it a while ago. So I was in color guard for my freshman and sophomore year of high school. And then junior year, I was like, I want to be drum major. So I switched trumpet because I've been playing trumpet since I was in fifth grade. Cool. So I was doing band already. And I was like, well, to give myself more legitimacy with the band, I will march for a year as trumpet. And then fourth year, I tried out for a drum major and made it. So I was drum major of my high school marching band. That was fun. So I really stopped doing color guard sophomore year of been like
10
years.
Yeah.
Aging myself.
I mean, it's probably, no, it's cool. It's probably like the few or only interviews where we're going to talk about color guard, but we wanted to bring it up because, like,
no, band please geeks, do.
And
please
do. We thought that was.
Do you guys watch DCI? Yeah. From Corps International? Mm-hmm. It is like a guilty pleasure of mine. Yeah. I love it.
I actually tried out for a Corps.
Me too. Oh yeah. My God, which one? Did you?
Rochester Patriots.
I did not. I went for the cadets.
Oh yeah. No, I was nowhere near good enough to do Division One.
I went there and they were like, nope.
I tried out for the Rochester Patriots. I think they were Division Two, and I got in, but due to some family issues, I wasn't able to go with them.
Oh, bummer.
It was a shame too, because the year they went, they won the DCI National Championship for Division Two. I was like,
that would have been awesome.
It would have been, but no, I appreciated the time while I was doing it. Were you able to get into cadets or?
I made it on dancing.
Huh.
But and then I so because the color guards there are so intense and mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
They were like, well, are you gonna go weapon? You know, because weapon is like a specialty. You know, everyone can do flag. Everyone has to do flag.
Right.
But if you want to do weapons, that's above and beyond. So I was like, no weapons. I'm not going to cut it. So I'll just do flag work. So I made it on dance, but I didn't make it on flag work. Mm-hmm. So they actually were like, well, okay, train for a couple of months and then come back to us. And school, timing, stuff got in the way. So I never went back. And I was like, oh, maybe I could have, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, if memory serves, like the cutoff date for like going, like it, I think the latest you can do it is if your birthday, if your like 21st birthday happens to be like in June of that year, like you can still do it up to 21.
Yeah.
And then, but past that, you can't. And then there are adult drum corps, but you know, they're not as prominent as DCI is.
No. Yeah. And DCI is just amazing to watch.
Yeah.
And I love just it.
Becomes one of those things in your past where like, yeah, I could, that's just another road I could have gone down.
Yeah.
Just another way. So let's go back to video games, because that is the road that we all are on. And video games are awesome. Yeah. That is why we're here.
Yes.
Okay. Marching Band's fun, but video games is more fun. So, what games are you, were you really excited about that came out this year, and B, what upcoming games are you really excited about?
This year, meaning 2012, yeah?
Yes, in this past year.
Past year, 2012.
I know, I'm still making
upcoming year, 2013, I think, yes.
Right, so. Okay. Yeah, I'm still making the transition, too. So, in the past year, so I was really excited about a lot of games, but the one that really followed through, like my excitement was justified in mm-hmm. gameplay and story and everything, was Far Cry 3. I'm still in the middle of that game. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
And it's almost purely for the characters and the performance capture that they did. It's not even motion capture. Like, they had the actor who played Boss, you know, one of the villains in that game. I mean, the actor looks like Boss, you know, so mm-hmm. he was in a room and they put all the motion capture stuff on him, and it was performance capturing, and so it was two people in a room actually acting out the scene, and that's why it's so legitimate in the game.
Yes.
And I really appreciate that they did that.
Yeah, because, you know, most of the times in video games, you know, the actors won't even be in the same room at the same time. It might be 6 or 7 months for the voice work, at least.
Yeah.
Before, you know, they'll actually hear what the other person is saying. So to have that sort of comparison where, you know, they're actually, the drama going on between them is actually going on.
Yeah, they're
at the same
not in
time.
A vacuum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
nice.
So that's beautiful. And, like, you're on a tropical island, and it's, like, winter for us now. So I'm like, I love it playing this game. It's great. Because last year I was playing Skyrim, and I'm like, oh, I'm freezing just walking around in snow.
Yeah.
And it's cold outside, you know? So, yeah. So I really liked Far Cry 3 for 2012. That was awesome. And I think upcoming, I am a huge, huge BioShock fan.
Same here.
But I like BioShock for the story and the characters and the location. Mm-hmm. I loved Rapture. I loved it. I hate the water in real life. Like, I'm scared to death of the ocean. But I played that game and I was like, I love this underwater city and I love the Art Deco style and I love everything about it.
Fantastic.
And now we're going to Columbia, a floating city that I just like, I don't know if I like that. So I'm excited for the game, but I just, I have my reservations on it.
Yeah, like the gameplay and the core mechanic look cool, but that sort of shift out of what made BioShock great now it's gone, so you kind of wonder, is that going to be like a giant detraction?
Well, I'm glad that they're taking a real chance of doing something really different with it. And
floating
cities to me are always cool. I do wonder how the mechanics are going to work with that, but I'm pretty psyched about that too.
My big concern, though, aside from, I mean, I'm sad to leave Rapture. Like, I really loved Rapture, is that I'm so scared to get into a game where it's help the AI. Like, I don't want to just babysit.
Yeah, escort the mission.
AI. I don't want to do that. It's going to drive me nuts, you know, and I think that's a big part of the game is just helping, I forget her name even, you know, go through the story.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's kind of sad when, you know, the person you're supposed to be helping, you can't remember any. I can't remember it either. That's the problem. Like, I'm really excited for this game, but I don't remember the character's name.
Nope, don't know. She's really pretty. That's all I know.
Little sister?
No, I don't think it's a little sister.
No, well, no.
Could be the
side. They haven't alluded to any. Yeah, but, and then, I really haven't been keeping up to date. Like, I like it, but I'm keeping a distance. So I don't know if it's, like, just her that has powers or, you know, because in BioShock you could have, like, the Eve hypos and stick yourself with it, and then you could get different powers, and that was really cool. But I thought that maybe they got rid of it.
I don't know if it's they got rid of it or they've switched for something a similar gameplay mechanic, but it's now something else entirely. Like, I'm trying to remember.
I feel bad.
I wonder what they're doing with the multiplayer. Like, what did you think of the multiplayer in BioShock 2?
So I didn't play a whole lot of it. I liked it. I actually liked the multiplayer better than the story because I mean, that single player campaign was like a poor carbon copy of the first game.
Yeah.
You know, it was everything except all the awesome. And I feel bad saying that because I really loved, you know, I love the series so far.
Yeah.
But, I mean, BioShock 1 was just everything I could have ever wanted in a game.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, without Andrew Ryan, it was kind
exactly.
of like, lacked that compelling
awesome
villain.
Character.
I know. Andrew Ryan's the best villain. And
how
are you going to replace him? How do you do that? You don't.
Sadly.
It's hard, yeah, that's true. But I really wanted a game, I really wanted them to go and do a prequel to have it be during the fall of Rapture, and you could choose if you wanted to join Andrew Ryan's side or Fontaine's side. Like, I really wanted that, but I just love Rapture.
I
love it so much. I did I always host a New Year's Eve party at my house, or my parents' house now, and I one year decorated the whole basement as Rapture.
Oh, that's
so I cut out black construction paper into like a skyline. And I put it on the wall, and then I resoldered the LED connections for blue Christmas lights so that every window had a blue light behind it. And then I put blue cellophane over it so it looked like it was water.
That's awesome.
Like,
nice.
I went all... Oh, I love BioShock. Sorry.
Yeah.
Totally nerding out.
That's fine. We all have our game series where we will totally nerd out on it.
BioShock is a big one for me. Like, I'm
just...
Anything, you know, RPGs.
Final
Fantasy.
I love...
Et cetera.
I love old Final Fantasy.
Yes.
Asterisk.
All right. What was your favorite old Final Fantasy?
Oh, I consider it old. It might not be old, really, but 10. I love 10.
Nothing wrong with that. I love anything out of the decade.
I'm actually very happy. It's not my favorite, but I still think it's really good. I think it was. I think it had a great story. Oh, he's
holding up six. Which,
for the record, Brian is mine too.
Six,
but
is my
ten
favorite.
Is actually my second favorite.
Yes, I will. Because
that had
that.
A fantastic story.
It did.
If it hadn't been for Blitzball, might be higher than six. But that's a great game, start to finish.
Oh, I loved it. It was. I think it's probably like the last good one in my opinion.
I haven't played a Final Fantasy game since 10.
I started like the first couple of missions for 11, and then I was like,
I know
11 was online, 12.
Yeah, I think you. Yeah, I think you.
Yeah, I know.
13 just sucks.
Yeah.
And then 10-2 was an abomination. I don't even believe that game exists.
I rented that, played it for about maybe 20 minutes, and then I'm like, Okay, you're going back to Blockbuster.
Yeah. I don't know why 8 just popped out for me. Just, it was amazing.
It was fun.
Gun Source. What's not, what's not the like?
Yes, and that opening cinematic, that got me. I was like fighting gorgeous. And feathers and blood. Great. Sign me up.
Let's go.
That one has a really, like, a really dark story too. Like, it's a lot darker than some of the other ones. And I read this fan theory online. This guy, he was proposing the idea that Squall actually, like, die when he gets impaled with the ice by Medea. Or Idea. That he actually dies then, and everything that happens afterwards is that last, like, little bit of time before he dies as his life passes in front of his eyes. But it's sort of stretched out, because there's kind of an idea that, like,
well, when you're dead, time has no meaning.
That when you die, like, your consciousness, like, expands, so that, like, relativity, like, the last couple seconds of your life can feel like hours and hours and hours.
That's incredible. I like that.
I read that, I'm like, wow.
If they actually meant to do that, that's brilliant.
I have to go back and, like...
One can only hope.
Yeah.
What do you think of 7?
Yeah, we're not going there. I don't have time.
It's the free bird.
Yeah, that got really deep there for a second. So
Let's take it back.
Let's back up. Seven. Like, have you seen any really awesome costumes you like while you've been here?
You know, so I wasn't here Thursday. Sadly, I had to do some work, and then I was here for a little bit yesterday, and then today I've been running around. I did a podcast earlier in a different room, so. I haven't really been able to see.
Did they ask
you
about Color Grade?
No.
Okay.
They did not. Bam. You guys are awesome for asking me
about that. Boldly going nowhere. We ask about Color Guard.
Yeah. So I haven't really seen anything that, like, stuck out. I mean, I've seen, I think there's a lot of anime cosplay here that I wasn't really prepared for. Because I don't know, I mean, anime is such a big genre thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's that one happy chance where, you know, some subcultures can come together and they can build up to build, you know, like, you know, anime, like, you'll see gaming cosplay at an anime convention and anime. I mean, I didn't really see much anime last year, anime cosplay.
I think I've seen
like one or two, but I saw more gaming cosplay this year. There's way more.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's great.
People
who cosplay, I think, they just are so amazing. The talent and the effort that they put into their outfits is incredible.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Borderlands 2 cosplay as well.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of that, which is awesome.
There's already a video about of all the cosplay at MAGFest. MAGFest. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. That was a video. That's really great.
Oh, yeah.
With
that's
that
right.
Panic at the Disco
that's
song.
That's right. I remember
background.
You showed it.
It was really amazing.
I think
really
we linked
amazing.
That up on the Boldly Going Nowhere Facebook.
Yeah. We'll put that up
yeah,
there.
We're actually just watching it before you came up here. So
okay.
I recommend next time you get on your computer, check out that video. It's really well shot and well put together.
Awesome.
So, I think before we wrap things up, is there any last things you want to plug or
make
sure that people know about?
You know, it's really just the Frag Dolls. We have a website, fragdolls.com. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/fragdolls, and then Twitter. We interact a lot with people on Twitter, so it's twitter.com/fragdolls or @fragdolls.
Mm-hmm.
And then our application process is open for the Cadet Academy for 2013. So if you're a female and you're interested in the video game industry or gaming casually or competitively, with the Frag Dolls, apply there as well. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Saber_FD.
Do it.
I do it.
Do it.
I do. You should too.
Yay.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Saber.
Thank you for Boldly Going Nowhere.
I love it. Thank you, guys.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.